Merry Christmas and welcome to the Erie First Podcast, the weekly message series featuring Pastor Nicole Schreiber. We've been in a Christmas series called The Gift. Pastor Nicole is examining the significance of each of the gifts that the wise men brought to Jesus. Why did the wise men bring frankincense, myrrh, and gold to a baby? So far, we've seen how frankincense symbolized Jesus' status as our high priest, restoring the intimacy between God and each of us. We learned that the myrrh prophetically symbolized Jesus' death on the cross. The gold was a gift fit for a king, and Jesus is that king that we must worship with our whole lives. So what's remaining? Today, Pastor Nicole is joined by Pastor Daniel Brooker, and together they'll examine the importance of the greatest gift that comes at Christmas, the birth of Jesus himself. So let's get started and celebrate the true gift of Christmas. Here's Pastor Nicole.
Have you ever gotten a really weird gift for Christmas? Anyone? Like you opened it and you thought, I'm not even really sure what this is, but I'm excited about it. Or maybe you're not sure like what it's even supposed to be used for. Or maybe you are the person who finds the weird gift and likes to get, are there any of you out there where you're like, I'm gonna get this for them and they're not gonna know whether to laugh or cry. It's gonna be hilarious. Well, I did a little Google research this week and I found some weird gifts in case you need some last minute ideas. How many of you in the room play pickleball? Pickleball? You know what pickleball is? Oh, we got a few pickleball exciters over here. All right, so I found this. A pickle theme pickleball uniform. Pickleball, one of America's top sports. This company believes all the paddles, balls, and uniforms should literally reflect the name of the sport. Thought that was good. Okay, maybe this will be under your tree this year. I actually brought it with me. Salted egg salmon skin. Salted egg salmon skin. It's fried salmon skin with salted duck egg. Raise your hand if you would try this. Like if you actually got this, you would try. Pastor Daniel, would you gift this to someone in the room today? Or are they, oh, sorry. Oh, sorry about that. Give that to, Ray, keep your hand up. He's gonna give some salted egg salmon. Oh boy. All right, let us know how it is. Tori got it. I see. All right, imagine a gift like this. How to speak chicken, 2024. You know, anybody can learn Spanish, French, even Mandarin. It takes a special person to learn chicken, and you might need that. Let me give you a tip. If you get a weird gift this season, you can always say, you shouldn't have. No, really, I mean it. You really shouldn't have. Like, that was not a good idea. You could actually do that. You know, the tradition of giving gifts during the Advent season is credited to a man named St. Nicholas. And he was a bishop who lived in the year 300 in modern-day Turkey. Nicholas was known for his generosity toward those in need, especially children. And one story tells of a poor man with three daughters. And in those days, a young woman's father had to offer prospective husbands something of value called a dowry. The larger the dowry, the better the chance that a young woman would find a good husband. And without a dowry, a woman was unlikely to marry. But these poor man's daughters without dowries were therefore destined to be sold into slavery. But some say the tradition of St. Nicholas was that he would offer these dowries to these families, and he would throw them in the windows of these families and into their stockings or shoes that were left out to dry. And St. Nicholas is credited as the giver of these generous gifts. So that is what the tradition of St. Nicholas is. Before I go further, would you turn to the person next to you and tell them the best gift that you're hoping to receive today that is not salted duck salmon egg? Go ahead and do that. All right, so some say the tradition of gift giving came because of St. Nicholas. Others say it was the Magi who gave gifts to Jesus after he was born. But maybe this example of gift giving started even before that. I would like to suggest that the first instance of Christmas gift giving took place between Mary, the mother of Jesus, and God, It really is the first gift exchange. So God, he came ready to give and was loaded with presents. And Mary was pretty much caught off guard and had to simply receive the gifts in faith. And so in this Christmas scripture I'm about to read, God gives Mary some specific gifts, and I want to look at those today just for a few moments. So let's read in Luke 1, 30 through 35. It says, "The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I am a virgin.' And the angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God.'" So the first present God will give to Mary is a miracle. Though she is a virgin, she will be with child. And this has to blow her mind. You have to wonder if she just completely stopped breathing at this point, right? That was a promise that she had never seen before, that no one had ever seen before. She was going to become pregnant outside the normal process of conception. And while the conception was miraculous, Mary was going to have a normal pregnancy and give birth to a baby boy. And he would be fully human, so he would experience what every baby goes through. He would do all the baby things. In fact, in a few moments, we're going to sing this popular Christmas carol called "Away in a Manger." And the lyrics of the song are, "The little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes." They're lying. He cried, okay? He whined. He filled diapers. Okay, like this is what babies do. He needed fed and rocked, just like other babies. He was a real baby. And God gave another gift to Mary by telling her what to name the baby boy. She didn't have to agonize and look in baby books and try to figure out what to name this child. Mary would name the baby Jesus. From God, God told her what to name him. And the Hebrew for Jesus is Joshua, which means Jehovah salvation. Now, I don't know if you know this, but in that time, that was a very popular name. Many parents wanted their boy to be named after the victorious leader of Israel named Joshua. Some parents even picked this name in hopeful expectation that perhaps if they named their child Jesus, he would be the Messiah, or he would be the deliverer. So from the very beginning, Mary's son was set apart as the Savior, with his name chosen by God himself. And in the Gospel of Matthew, Gabriel the angel explains the reason for this name very clearly. It says in Matthew 1:21, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." So not only did God give Mary a gift of his son who is the Savior, but also in Luke 1, it describes who Jesus would be. It says that Jesus will be great. Jesus will be great. That word great, it means exceedingly mighty, extraordinary, splendid. The one who will be held by his mother is the same one who holds everything together in the world. He is great. Jesus would be great in his love. He would be great in his compassion. He would be great in his sacrifice. Jesus would live a great life. He would teach great parables. He would give great sermons. He would heal with great power. He would be a great example. Jesus would die a great death, and he would be resurrected in great power. And he would give the great commission and ascend to a great height. And he will come again in great glory. And Jesus longs to make great changes in your life and in my life, if you will let him. Mary, probably still trying to kind of gulp down the fact that she's going to be pregnant, but not the normal way. She's going to have a boy. She's going to name him Jesus. Everyone's naming their kid Jesus, but okay, God, I'm going to do all this. Then he's going to be great. He's going to be the son of the Most High God. But God isn't done giving Mary gifts yet, because in Luke 1, God then tells her that Jesus will fulfill the prophecy given to David, and Jesus will sit on the throne forever. This means Jesus will have no term limits. He has unlimited monarchy with an absolute reign. And this gift and promise that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords forever and ever, his kingdom will never, ever end. So we come to verse 34. And I get the sense that Mary can't process any more data. Have you ever felt like that? You are telling me too many things. That is all I can process for today. And she verbalizes a question. It's now kind of hit a crescendo. And she says, how will this be since I am a virgin? And if you think about it, her response is pretty amazing. She could have run away. She could have told the angel he has the wrong address. She could have said, I think you're making a mistake in all this. She could have doubted what he said, but she could have responded with a lack of faith. But Mary believed. She wasn't questioning whether this would all happen. She was simply asking, how will it happen? Mary wasn't asking if it would happen or whether it would happen. She's simply saying, I don't understand how it will happen, which is a question I think we all often ask God, don't we? God says, I'm a way maker. I'm working even when you don't see it. I'm going to make this right. I'm going to provide for what you need. And we say, yeah, God, but how? Can you give me the detailed plan so I can approve it and send it back as a draft, you know? And then you can edit it all up, take away the pain and suffering, and then we'll do it that way. Mary is saying, I believe you. I just don't fully understand how. So the angel tells Mary something simple but powerful. And I want you to know that it's something that's a word for you today. This happened in the moment in the New Testament, but this is a word that we can hang on to in this Christmas. He says in Luke 1:37 and the Revised Standard Version, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Will you read that with me this morning? Ready? For with God, nothing will be impossible. You know, some of you are here today and you're in an impossible situation. You are faced with a pile of debt. You're worried about a wayward child. You're needing courage to face a problem in your life. You're overwhelmed. You want a baby, but you can't conceive. You're addicted to something you can't shake. You're anxious. You're weighed down and you're tired of being anxious and weighed down. So you're more anxious and weighed down. Whatever it is, this is your fresh word for today. This is a today word for a today problem. And the word is this: nothing is impossible with God. If God can reach all the way down from the throne of heaven to give gifts to an unassuming teenager named Mary, if he cares so much about the details that he even gives the name of the baby to his mother, if Jesus reigns on the throne right now and forever, that same God, then what can he not do? Can you imagine what he wants to do with you and for you this Christmas? You know, God gave Mary a whole bunch of gifts. And some of them were a little bit weird. But Mary didn't have a lot to give to God. But what she did have, she gave. I want to show you in Luke 1:38. It shows us this moment that after Mary hears all the gifts that God was giving to her, all this ridiculous business, God says, listen, what is your response? And Mary says this. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And the only gift Mary had to give back to God was her life. And that's what she did, voluntarily, radically committed. God gave Mary gifts on that first Christmas, but the gift of Jesus wasn't just for Mary. He is the greatest gift. He's the greatest gift for you and for me. And God gave us Jesus, and now Jesus waits for you to give yourself to him. Christmas isn't so much about what you get, but what you give. And so this morning, I want to ask you, have you ever given your life to Jesus? That's the only present that you can offer, and that's the only one he wants. Jesus is the best and the most indescribable gift. And at the heart of Christmas It's this never old story that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, born in a humble stable, born to give his life for us on the cross. We can't possibly even the score by giving back to God. His gift was too great, too precious, and yet out of gratitude for what he did for us, we should respond like Mary did from the heart by giving our lives to him, not to try to pay him back, but to say thank you for such an indescribable gift. Would you please stand? Would you grab your candle and light it? And would you sing this Christmas carol that we can imagine Mary singing together this morning?
Christmas church family. That was beautiful. And it's things like that that we love this time of year. How many of you love this time of year? I mean, I know we have different levels. I mean, you have like obsessed, you have Grinches, and anywhere in between. All right. Yeah. All right. We got everywhere in between. And this time of year, we come together kind of in love and unity and celebration of this beautiful event, this birth of Jesus Christ. And as Pastor Nicole just kind of emphasized and really did a great job showing us that Jesus, God in flesh, came and was this perfect gift, the ultimate gift this Christmas season. And gave Mary gifts that she described. Some of them probably were a little bit surprising, some of them a little bit unsure of, but the gift of Jesus wasn't just for Mary, right? We're here today because that gift is for you, for me, and for all of us here today. Now, I'm going to start off today. I want to ask you a question, all right? I want you to see if you can figure out what do these people have in common, all right? Maybe not who you would expect to see on a Sunday morning on the screen, but Bing Crosby and David Bowie. What do these have in common with Ringo Starr or Jars of Clay? You might be getting some ideas in your head right now. What about the Royal Scots Dragoon Guards? They are people. If someone has that one, that is correct. Justin Bieber. Okay. We're going to get a lot of answers, I'm sure, here. All right. Pentatonix. Or for King and Country. All right. Now, you may have a lot of ideas. I'm sure people, they're musicians, they're singers. That is all correct. You guys are all correct. All the answers I heard were correct. Now, the common denominator, though, that I found with these individuals is they all sang famous or well-known renditions of a song called The Little Drummer Boy. All right? How many of you guys are familiar now? Now I say that you might be thinking back to Ringo Starr. You might be thinking back to David Bowie and Bing Crosby. You might be thinking Pentatonix. You go, now I see the correlation, right? And in the lyrics, the singers or the songwriter relates how a poor young boy was summoned by the Magi to give a gift and to play at the nativity of Jesus. And the lyrics say this, and I'm going to read them here, except I'm going to remove all the pums. So I'm going to remove those. Not going to beatbox. And it says this, come, they told me, a newborn king to see. Our finest gifts we bring to lay before the king, and so to honor him when we come. Little baby, I'm a poor boy too. I have no gift to bring that's fit to give our king. Shall I play for you? And Mary nodded. So the ox and lamb, they kept time. I played my best for him. And then he smiled at me and my drum. You see, without a gift for the infant, the little drummer boy here played his drum for the approval. Mary nodded and he said, I played and he approved of it and he smiled at me. Now, shocking news. I was actually officially shocked by this. The Little Drummer Boy was only written, they think, within the last 100 years. It's not one of those ancient ones from the 1800s and things like that. And there is no evidence that there was a Little Drummer Boy at the Nativity. I'm so sorry, all right? If you have that in your Nativity set, all right, moving on. But this is the sentiment. The kind of feeling behind this song is one that we have today, understanding the fact that this gift of Jesus Christ, we give what we have because we want to give to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. You see, Jesus, as Pastor Nicole just talked about, was the perfect gift, and we have the ability today to receive that gift. And our natural instinct might be then to follow up, like Mary did, with a question. And our question might be, now what? What do we do with this information? What do we do with the realization that Jesus is this perfect gift that, like the poor boy and the drummer boy, we feel we don't have much to bring, especially with the magnitude of his gift? You see, 2 Corinthians 5:21 describes the gift of Jesus like this. And it says that for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. This gift of Jesus, if he was there and he was a gift to Mary, and I talked about him being a gift for us today, this understanding that him as a baby was sent so that he could take our burdens, our debt of sin, and he was perfect, undeserving of it, so that we could be made through Christ, made right through Christ. And again, what could we give in return to that? I don't know about you. How many of you have ever received a gift that you felt you didn't earn, deserve, or wasn't expected? How many of you have ever, like, you got someone completely shocked you out of the blue, right? Now, maybe it's in a gift exchange or something. I mean, we want to give something back, right? I don't know about you, but there's almost a sense of guilt. Like, someone gives you this, and you're like, oh, my goodness, thank you. I got a pack of gum in my pocket. I got to give you something, right? There's this sensation that we've got to give something back when we receive a gift we didn't expect, and this generosity. And today, receiving or understanding that Jesus is this perfect gift that we're searching for maybe causes or invokes the same reaction to give something back. You see, the Christmas story, as we look at it, we see multiple kind of people in the story, in this narrative of the Christmas day. We see the wise men and their responses, and we've talked about that the past couple weeks, right? The wise men came with their response that they were searching with questions, and the answer to their questions was what? A baby. They were searching for a king, and they found a baby. So they gave their worship, and they presented Jesus with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And there's the Bethlehem shepherds. They were searching for something, too. You see, I didn't know this, but in kind of researching it, I don't know how many of you guys know this, and I was really intrigued. The Bethlehem shepherds were not just everyday shepherds, actually. The sheep that they bred had a specific purpose. You see, the sheep that the shepherds of Bethlehem raised were specifically made for temple sacrifices in the Passover sacrifice. You see, nothing is done. God has intentionality, right? Nothing's done just half-hearted. You see, God showed up as a baby for the wise men who were searching for a king and for the shepherds who lived every day looking at the lambs of who were going to be this perfect sacrifice, this perfect unblemished lamb. They found that perfect spotless lamb in Jesus that day as well. And their response after they heard was to go and worship and go and spread the news, praising and rejoicing through the streets. We just discussed this earlier. The only gift Mary had to give was a response to this generous gift was to voluntarily and radically commit herself to this mission and this call. So each and every one of us today might be sitting there with that question, now what? What do I give? What could I give in response to this generous gift of mercy and love that we received? In Romans 12, 1 through 2, it says this, so therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, good and pleasing and perfect will. You see, just like Mary, our gifts today that we can give is our life and our lives as a living sacrifice. In a similar way, we can give it in obedience, radical and generous obedience to God, that we are going to step out, and even though we don't know where it's going to go, we say what we already all said earlier, for with God, all things are possible. So we give our life in devotion, adoration to Jesus, and he waits for our life back. This Christmas season, I ask you this question. What are you searching for? What are you searching for? Because we want to say, will you accept this gift that we've already talked about today, that Jesus is the answer and the perfect gift that's given to you and for you? You see, we might come today with questions about anxiety, depression, insecurities, and we must realize that he is the gift of peace that calms the restless storms in our mind. Or maybe today we come and we kind of actually feel like the Christmas season is just a highlight of how our finances are in a complete mess. And we don't know where provision is going to come from. And we actually have to realize that he is the gift of provision that provides when we see no other way. Or the loss of a loved one or material goods. Just this week, I had the opportunity to speak with someone who's related to someone in our church here who lost their home and all the material goods this week. And another one who had a loved one who lost the fight in cancer in battle. But you see, this is the gift that soothes the pain of heartache and loss. And maybe you're dreading 2024 because 2023 was so bad and the worst year of your life, and you're looking at it, and maybe today you got to realize that this is the gift that provides hope when you feel hopeless. You see, the gift is available now for us to receive in what we have, and we give our lives in return. But maybe, like the song we talked about already, the little drummer boy, you sit there and you go, what do I have fit for a king? If he's asking for my life, if he's asking for this back, the question is, do we feel that it's fit for Jesus? Because if I looked at my life is broken. Maybe you're sitting there going, my life is scarred. My life is just ruined from the things I've done in the past. Or you just don't feel that it has much worth. So why would Jesus want it? You see, Jesus wants it, and it's worthy of it because it's what he wants. He sees the value in your life and knows that there's value there if you allow him to use it and to have it. So today I want to ask you, have you given your life to Jesus, the present we have that we can offer? Have you accepted that gift that Pastor Nicole talked about, that I just talked about? So today, if you don't mind, I want you to close your eyes and bow your heads. I want us to take a time to reflect on this. And we would be remiss if we left today and didn't give you an opportunity to answer that. So today, if you're in this room and you're saying, you know what? I have maybe up to this point not accepted the gift of Jesus, that he came to earth as a baby and that he's the answer in which I'm looking for. Today, if you want to accept that gift, I want to give you a chance to raise your hand right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And maybe today you said, you know what? I've accepted that gift, but I've actually failed or haven't been willing to give my life to him. And maybe your response today is that I accept the gift of Jesus, but I am now willing to live my life in dedication and adoration to Jesus. And if you say, I need to give my life to him and give it all away and sacrifice it, maybe raise your hand at this point. Thank you. Thank you. Today, if you raised your hand for either of those and you accepted, we have people that are going to be down here at the front of these tables that say prayer, and they want to talk and just walk through that with you shortly and briefly. It's not a timeshare presentation in which it's 2 hours and you can't leave, okay? But they want to be there and walk that through with you and talk to you about this gift of Jesus to live a life for him. So let's pray together this morning, church. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for this beautiful moment, a day and time in which we specifically remember your birth because you came as that perfect sacrifice, a substitution for our sins, one that we couldn't take care of ourselves. God, I pray today for those in this room that are ready to accept that gift of love and redemption. We pray that we would give up trying to live our life in our own power and our own strength, but accept that gift of Jesus and return it back with our lives as a sacrifice to you. God, we give you what we have, and we give you all of our adoration and obedience like Mary. So take our life and use it for your glory this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Merry Christmas. Would you enjoy the cookie buffet? Take your family photo. Have a beautiful Christmas. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for listening to the Erie First Podcast. We'd love it if you gave us a rating and a review on your podcast app, and please subscribe so you never miss a message. You can follow Erie First on Facebook or Instagram, or visit eriefirst.org for all our latest news, announcements, and information. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next time.